We were somewhere recently, and Scotty and Alva were there, and Alva referred to him as big and tall. You have to make room for big and tall to go down the aisle. I have to wait on them. The other guys I can sneak by. Those guys are men for sure. Be turning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. That's where we'll begin our lesson today. And our lesson came out of a reading that we're familiar with. There's this unusual page break or chapter break between chapters 5 and 6 of Hebrews. And this is the setup before it. Both of them essentially dealing with maturity. And I thought to myself on a night like tonight, this is going to be a pretty mature audience. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you didn't just stumble in here accidentally. You were purposeful in being here this evening and are on a regular basis. So I thought this was kind of the lesson that go with people who think about their maturity and their Christianity. So let's begin with Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 and see what the writer has for us. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Our Christian journey involves us doing things. Christianity is not just something I enter into at baptism and then I just kind of, well, make sure I go to services and that's it. So there are things that we do as Christian men that should mark our maturity, and that's what this lesson is about. And I will tell you, the next bit of this lesson is kind of arbitrary. Maybe if I just show you one of the screens, it'll make a little more sense. We're going to look at some, ladies, let me tell you, I've already apologized to some. We're ignoring the ladies pretty much tonight. Forgive me, we'll have to come back and do a ladies' lesson on the same idea. But these things kind of go along. So we're going to take a look at the ages, right? I picked them just because, a 10-year period. And look at some things that should be done, that if you're not doing them, I think the same phrase of you ought to be doing these things should occur. Hopefully that makes sense. So we look at it, ages 15 to 25, a young man, right? Should be a Christian by now, hopefully, or should be soon to do so. Faithful in attendance, that's number one. If I want to become a Christian, I want to serve the Lord, I'm going to be a three-time-a-weeker. Elders, deacons, preachers, Bible class teachers love three-time-a-weekers. If you can bring them in to plug them into your congregation, particularly if you're small, they're so, so very helpful. You need to be an avid Bible reader. You need to be a Christian friend. That's one thing young people need in churches. They need fellow Christians who they can talk to and who are good examples, who don't get them into trouble, but get them into good things. Begin to look for a mate. Become a Christian if you're not. The bottom row here is going to be dealing with things that are worship activities, right? I think you know what this would mean. So as someone in this age group, what should you expect from someone there? And everyone's going to be a little different, I understand that. Scripture reading, for certain. Prayer, opening and closing prayer. Assisting with the contribution in the Lord's Supper. And maybe starting to do invitations, especially as you get toward 25, on Wednesday nights. That's one of the reasons we do what we do then, is that we're trying to mature those young men into speaking from reading to going into doing regular teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a great verse for this idea. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. It can be easy to get caught up in the things of this world, social media, and not deal with serious things. Bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, also for the life to come. Down a couple of verses to verse 11 of chapter 4, First Timothy 4:11. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Now, this next group, there's quite a lot of crossover. And I put the 1 Timothy verse in there because I think it bridges both gaps. And by the way, the person who oftentimes does not respect their own youth is actually the individual. You can take for granted that you can do those things, and you may let your spiritual life lax in that period of time. Don't do that. Labor around the building. This is the time when you start looking around and going, How does this happen? How do we end up with Bible class teachers? Who mows the yard? Who does these things? And you should begin to taking responsibility for those things. Visit and aid those who are in need of help. A young, strong back is a handy thing from time to time. You need to look to fill that junior role in our Bible classes, maybe where you're not the lead teacher, but you're in there and getting used to what preparation it takes. You're going to be vital as a Bible study leader. That age group right there, that 25 to 35, if you're a five-tool player, that man is as much value as almost anyone else in the church, in my personal opinion. You're at the age that you were converted recently, or you're excited about being converted, your friends are being converted, you know young people, you will know more young people in that period of time between, let's say, 20 and 30 than you will the rest of your life. You'll never talk to as many young people who need Christ as you will in that age group. And your dynamism, your faith, people see your faith as a young man. Oh, it's just the best thing in the world. And it attracts other people who need the Word of God more than almost anything else. Do you have a mate yet? The best thing I ever heard of that was this. You start running toward Jesus, and after you've done it a while, you turn around and you see who else is running with you. And I think that's pretty good managing being a mate. 5-2 player can do it all. You need it done. You're Rice and some of these guys standing back there trying to put a service together. You're ready to go. You should be in that age group. You should be a deacon in that 25 to 35 year period. Now, again, these numbers are arbitrary, and I picked the things, but I think they're solid. Age 45 to 65, you should be able to one-man band a congregation. You should be able to teach every class. You should be able to preach every sermon. You should be able to lead every song. Yes. Not just the occasional person. If not everyone, almost everyone. Because churches need that kind of work. Big churches need it. Small kind of churches need it. If you're going to be the kind of person that becomes an elder, you will have matured through all these phrases. Are you an empty nester? There's a flock waiting to be fed. You need to be a mature Christian. You need to have the fruit of the Spirit, and you need to show leadership. And if you're not already thinking about becoming an elder, you should. Ages 65 and up. Seek the face of God. I don't know that Scotty knew he was going to use that in that verse of the song tonight. But seek the face of God. You should be so comfortable with your salvation, so comfortable with Christ, so comfortable with the Word of God. You should be so excited about going to heaven that you think about God every day and you bring Him up in conversation. And you tell others, have you heard about my Jesus? And in that way, your faith, in every one of these aspects, every single one of them, your faith displayed as allegiance to Christ is mind-blowingly aggressive. This is why we're growing. We're growing because we've got a good combination of each level of this group in our congregation. And thank you, Lord. And it's very exciting. And if you're not fulfilling some of these roles, maybe you're thinking, maybe that's not for me. Well, let's work on that. Seeking the face of God. This is something I have turned into one of my personal prayers. You know what heaven's really going to be about? It's not about gold and pearls, although it is. You've heard me talk about it so many times. Streets of gold so fine that it's clear. I don't understand that, but I'm ready to find out. One pearl as big as a gate in heaven. But the real part of heaven that's meaningful is we will be face to face with God. We won't need a temple there because the Lamb is the light. Do I want to meet God? To do so, I seek His face in this world. I seek His work in this life. And I find joy in hearing His word, having Him speak to me. We are to be an example in the faith. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 if you don't mind. I mean every word of this lesson, by the way, because I remember very distinctly when some of these periods came on me. I mean, I was at West End in Bowling Green, where my wife and I and my kids lived, and the hedges had not been cut at the building in quite a while. I was a relatively new member there. I wasn't from town. Nobody really knew who I was as an individual. And I just decided one day I couldn't stand it anymore. I was going to go cut those bushes, and I was going to do that. It's not the exercise or the labor that mattered. It's the idea that I said, here's something that needs to be done for the Lord's work. I am as good as anybody else to do it. I will do it. Here am I, Isaiah chapter 6, send me. Once Isaiah has seen the image of God and God tells him he has a message, he won't let anyone else do it. He wants to do it. Men, if you're to be worthy Christians, that will occur to you all along the way. And when it does occur to you and you begin to fill that role, the church's heart will beat a little stronger that day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. I tried to find a way to end this sermon that would be appropriate, and I can think of no way other than this. Look at what Peter says here in his second letter, first chapter, verse 5. These are the Christian graces. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. In other words, you've got something, let's add to it. Let's grow. Let's become mature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You know what he means there at the end? Never forget you're a Christian. Never forget the God we serve gave his son on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. The reason I'm here today is because I am forgiven. Thank you, Lord. And once I have that faith, I can add all these things to it. Virtue is my favorite because I never heard it called this until I was doing some personal study one time. Ran across a dictionary that said true manliness. True manliness. Not machoism. True manliness wipes little rear ends. Changes diapers. Teaches Bible classes. Does the things. Helps people down the street. Helps people down the stairs. Make sure the Lord's Supper's done. Make sure there's somebody that if they need someone for closing prayer, I got you. Invite people to services. Bring somebody to services. Young men, you have an influence in the church that even our lovely ladies cannot have. We'll talk more about that because certainly there is no complete and whole church without active and aggressively spiritual women. That's our lesson. I hope somewhere it touched you. I hope somewhere it made you think. Maybe you've never thought of this before. We guys are dumb. They keep saying we're going to be 24 before our cranium develops or something, they've decided nowadays. You know, we just can't think of stuff. People have to hit us with a stick and go, this. Well, this is a stick. Consider yourself hit. I love you. If you're not a Christian, if you think for one fraction of a second that we won't sing hallelujah to God, if you come down that aisle and get baptized tonight, you just try us. If you need to repent and turn back to God and need help and prayer along the way, in either case, come forward as we stand and we sing.